Good morning. Welcome to Brahm Ministries Christian Church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. God doesn't want you to be confused. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says this, God the Father is not a God of confusion. Instead, our God is a God of unity. So everything with God is one. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6 say this, there is one body, and that's the body of Christ, the church age believers, and one God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells and leads believers in Christ, our mentor and our teacher. Just as you also were called in one hope, the absolute confidence of the effectiveness of your calling by God to a so great salvation. Ephesians 4, 5, one Lord Jesus Christ, one faith, Christianity, one baptism, the only way to be saved, the baptism of God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 6, one God, the Father of all believers in Christ, who is over all as their sovereign God, and through all, using believers for his divine purposes, and indwelling all church age believers. There is only one way to heaven. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, Jesus said to Thomas, the doubting apostle, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God. I am the resurrection life. And no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me. Welcome to a place where you can be clear about God's plans for your life through the study of his word. Today's lesson, the Lord's best gift to the Jewish race was himself. The Lord's best gift to the Jewish race was himself. In a dream, the Lord talks to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 to 15. Here's what he says. I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. That was the land of Palestine. Genesis 28, 14, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. That's what's going on with the Jewish race right now. They have been scattered to the four corners of the earth and chased from their homeland. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that's a great case against anti-Semitism, that you should never have negative feelings toward the Jewish race, knowing what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks of them. So in today's lesson, what we're going to do is recap the gifts that the Lord has offered to the Jewish race, but none of those gifts are as wonderful as the one we'll learn about today, which is the Lord giving the gift of himself and his word to the Jewish race. All right, so we'll start. I didn't read Genesis 28, 15. He said, behold, I am with you, and I'll keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. So there's the point about God giving himself and his word. So the Jewish race, while scattered around right now, will be reassembled in their homeland, Israel, and will be given all of the things that they were promised around their homeland, namely all of the collar countries around Israel. And that is because the Lord will keep his word to them. So our opening song today is from Rich Mullins. And as we turn ourselves from the world to the source, let's listen to the song, Awesome God.
Just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
sky was starless in the void of the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. A mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. A hope that we have not too quickly forgotten. That our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, you are indeed awesome, a person we can count on, a person who will never fail us or forsake us or leave us. Thank you for the gift of you. Thank you for the confidence you inspire in us through the gift of faith that you have given us. Teach us to count on you. Help us to never be surprised when we see you keeping your word. Calm our souls in such a way that we come to expect that you will do everything for us. Help us acknowledge you and you only as the source of our lives. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to our guests and a few announcements. So, today at 1:45, from 1:45 to 3, we'll be going to visit the vets down in Phoenix, and it'll be good to see them again. We haven't been there in a few months, so it'll be great to see them, and I know they'll be happy to see us. Prayers, please, for all those who are expressing intentions and petitions in the Barah Ministries prayer request group on Facebook. I'd like to especially ask you to pray for Tony LaGrasso and his wife Jennifer. Jennifer's father, Otto, died recently. He was a Chicagoan and a great Cub fan, so I know that it's just a little bit too bad that he left just a little bit too soon, because the Cubs are going to win the World Series this year, and he would have been very happy to watch that. So to Tony and Jennifer, you have our prayers and our condolences. Also to Harold Christensen, who's looking for a job, person out in our non-resident congregation, please keep him in your prayers as well. Happy anniversary to Pastor Rory Clark and Lila coming up in 2 days. Thank you. Where am I going to take you? I'm not taking you anywhere. I'm not even taking my wife anywhere. Got to go to work. She said last night, she said, what are we going to do to celebrate? Nothing. No, but I'm very happy. We made it 2 years. We survived our first crisis. That's awesome. And let's press on in this wonderful marriage. Happy anniversary coming up also to Deacon Larry Collins and Pat on October 21st. We got more claps than you did, just for the record on that. So what number will this be? 54 years. Oh, my God. I'm just happy to get through 54 days. That's awesome. That's a long time. Congratulations. And just a reminder that the Barab Ministries website has a publication tab, and there is a free publication there called And You Will Be Saved. You know, we live in the electronic age, so if you don't know how to download a link, you might want to learn how to do that, because this is the time of the year, the Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. This is the time of the year when people's attention turns to God. And it'd be a good idea if you started making some invitations to Barab Ministries and use the And You Will Be Saved book as one of the invitations. It's a quite thorough biblical discussion of how to be saved, which, you know, I think it's got 100 pages. It doesn't take 100 pages to tell you how to be saved, but it gives all of the backup, all the background for the whole gospel message. All right, so today's Bible lesson, the Lord's best gift to the Jewish race was himself. The Lord's best gift to the Jewish race is himself. Now, what we're studying is Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Romans chapters 1 through 8 is all about grace. It's all about how about the gospel message, about how we're all born physically alive and spiritually dead, how it puts us in a terrible predicament to be born that way. It's not your fault, but it is your circumstance. You're born physically alive and spiritually dead. But what happened? When you look at about Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and you hear those fantastic words, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness from God, then you're amazed. Why? Because we're in this terrible predicament of spiritual death when we're born, and yet God, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's like being locked in a prison with no way out. But Jesus Christ is the way out, and he went to the cross to pay for every sin you'd ever commit, past, present, and future. They were credited to his account and judged so that they wouldn't be credited to yours. And now because of that, you are able to be saved by simply believing in him. So that was the first 8 chapters of Romans. Now chapters 9, 10, and 11. Well, what about the Jews? The Jews, this group of people who were the chosen race, this group of people who were the chosen from the chosen nation, what about them? And so the 3 chapters that we're studying are the what about them. And the questions we open this study with are, did God abandon the Jews? Did God set them aside? Is God punishing the Jews? And so that's a great question for us to consider as Gentiles, because if God doesn't like the Jews, then he probably doesn't like the Gentiles either. But we know that that is not the case. We know that God has a tremendous affection for the Jews. And so we open this Romans chapter 9 with Paul expressing heartbreak about what has happened with the Jews. And what has happened with the Jews is they turned their back on their Messiah. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, they ignored him. And as a matter of fact, that ignoring him took the form of leading him to a cross so that he could be crucified. All right, so Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5, we're finishing up this passage, this first passage of chapter 9 today. So let's remind ourselves what we've been studying. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I, Paul, am telling you the truth. I'm in union with Christ on this. I'm not lying to you. My conscience testifies along with me, that part of me that knows right from wrong. I am filled with God the Holy Spirit and his enabling power in this matter. So Paul is indicating that he has 3 witnesses, himself, God the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He has 3 witnesses that will testify that what he's about to say is true. Romans chapter 9, verse 2, and I tell you that I keep on having great sorrow and an incessant haunting grief in my heart. In other words, I am heartbroken. Why is that, Paul? Romans chapter 9, verse 3, for if I, Paul, could, I would wish that I myself were accursed, that I myself were made an anathema by God. What does that mean when you are made an anathema? That means you're going to the lake of fire. So Paul is saying, I would wish that I myself were accursed, made an anathema, and sent to the lake of fire as a substitute, and separated from my union with Christ, the Messiah, for the sake of my brethren, the Jews, who are unbelievers. That is the ultimate expression of sacrifice. It's the exact same sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for all mankind. What was the sacrifice that he made for all mankind? He went to the cross to die so that we would not have to. He went to the cross to open up the relationship between mankind and God the Father. He broke down the barrier of the dividing wall with his death on a cross by shedding blood for our sake. And so Paul is saying, I'm willing to make that same sacrifice if I could. But of course he can't. He can't make that sacrifice because he is a believer in Christ. He cannot lose his salvation. He is Jewish, but he is also a believer in Christ. And so you can be Jewish of a race, but also be a spiritual Jew. And the spiritual Jew is a Christian. Romans chapter 9, verse 4, my kinsmen, who are the Israelites, to whom belongs a series of gifts, the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the Mosaic law, and the temple service, and the promises. Romans chapter 9, verse 5, my kinsmen, who are of the lineage of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and my kinsmen, from whose lineage comes the Christ, the Messiah, the one who became flesh and tabernacled among us, the one who is the sovereign God over all, the God, deity, the blessed one, who is forever. Amen. That was one of the things that the Jews of his day missed. They thought that Jesus was a man. They thought that Jesus was a rabbi. They thought that Jesus was a good prophet. They didn't realize that Jesus was God. And there's no way they shouldn't have realized that, because every single thing that was said in the Old Testament about the Messiah was true about Jesus Christ. Everything. Where is he going to be born? In Bethlehem. Jesus, where were you born? In Bethlehem. And where in Bethlehem? In Nazareth. Oh, all of these things were said. There are about 109 different things that were said about Jesus Christ that would let the Jews know that he was the one that was promised, and they missed it. His name, Emmanuel, God with us. Sign after sign after sign after sign after sign. And they refused to see it. So what is Paul saying in essence in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5? He says, I'm heartbroken, and I would sacrifice myself if I could, if these knuckleheads who have all these gifts would just get it. Now, who does that sound like? That sounds like parents, right? Because we as parents are thinking the same thing. I wish that this knucklehead that I gave birth to would just get it. You know, and it starts from the very beginning. Like, why can't you change your own diapers? Why can't you feed yourself? And it goes all the way through the teen years. Why is it that if this is the right way to go, you want to go that way, right? Well, that's the exact same thing that Paul is experiencing, that heartbreak, the same heartbreak that we experience as parents when we're raising children. So now we're finishing up this first passage in this lesson, and we're looking at verses 4 and 5 specifically. We started this last week. We'll finish it today. And then we'll move into the second passage in our second lesson today. So what we're looking at is the irrevocable gifts that the Messiah bequeathed to the Jews. And what do we say irrevocable means? Won't ever change. Do you remember that from last week? Because you got a puzzled look on your face. Your brother answered that question last week. Oh, okay. You mean you didn't listen to it on the internet? Oh, jeez. Did you know we're on the internet? Oh, well. It's awesome. So we're finishing up this passage. All right, so what are some of these gifts that the Lord gave the Jews? The first, adoption as sons. Adoption as sons. What does that mean? It means under Roman law that a parent could legally adopt a person, and then that person had the right to the name and citizenship of the parent who adopted him. So parents realized a lot of times that their kids were going to take their inheritance and spend it in 2 weeks. And so what did the parents do? They said, well, I'm not going to give my inheritance to this kid. I'm going to give it to somebody who I know would take good care of it. And so they would adopt adults. And the person that they adopted had the right to inherit the new parent's property. And best of all, the adopted son had the same rights and privileges as a natural born son. So what does that mean exactly? For believers in Christ of the Jewish race, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and for the church age believer, which is us, we are adopted as sons, and we have the same rights and privileges as the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're a believer in Christ in this age, the church age, when God the Father looks at you, he sees the same thing that he sees when he looks at Jesus Christ. Now, when you got up this morning and you looked at yourself in the mirror, you didn't see that same thing. So you would have to conclude that how you see yourself and how God sees you is dramatically different. God loves you unconditionally. What does that mean? With no conditions. God does not expect anything from you. In the second lesson today, we start to talk about God's sovereignty. We'll start to realize the power of his source. You see, as believers in Christ, we think we did something to save ourselves. We think that when we responded to the gospel message, that we did something special. I believe in Christ. Wow. But that doesn't matter. What matters is what the source did. See, you expressed, I believe in Christ, but that did not save you. What saved you? Christ. The source saved you. And that's so hard for us to get our heads wrapped around as human beings because we like participating in things. So God the Father, when he looks at you as a believer in Christ, he sees amazing. You don't. And your whole life is going to be spent catching up to that whole thing. And it's pretty funny. I don't know whether Steve Jobs, who invented Apple Corporation, I don't know whether he was a believer in Christ or not. And I tend to believe he wasn't. I don't know. But I do know this. The people that were with him when he died said that his final words were, wow, 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 and then he died. And that gave me some encouragement that I might see him because it'd be nice to have some computers in heaven. But here's the thing that's funny to me about that. That's exactly the reaction we're going to have when we get to heaven. Wow, wow. Wow, and we're going to just be doing that for all eternity. Because the thing that I'm telling you right now is a wow. God the Father, when he looks at you, he sees the same thing that he sees when he looks at his son, Jesus Christ. You've got to be wowed by that. Because you just don't see yourself that way, and you certainly don't act worthy of such a thing. And that's what's amazing about our God. So wow. The Lord Jesus Christ, another gift to the Jewish race was the glory. What is God's glory? God's glory is the physical manifestation of God's being. It is God allowing his presence to be clearly seen. Now, how did he do that for the Jews? God's presence to the Jews was a cloud by the day and fire by night as he led them across the Sahara Desert to the promised land, Israel. So he let his presence be seen to the Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ gives to the human race, to the Jewish race, the covenants. And there were several covenants, promises, absolute guarantees that he promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And what were they? There were five, to be exact, that he made. The first was the Abrahamic covenant. He promised a people. He said that the Jewish race was going to be like sand at the seashore, lots and lots and lots of grains. He said he promised the Mosaic covenant, which promised them a nation. And in 1947, Israel became a state. the Davidic covenant, a promised king and a messianic line, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come through the messianic line, or through the Davidic line, the new covenant, the promise of a future, that even though the Jews would be set aside for a period of time, there that they would have a future and the Lord would come back and lead them personally to that future. And then the Palestinian covenant, which is promised real estate, the promise that all of the countries around Israel right now will be Israel in the future during the Lord's millennial reign on the earth. While the Lord is not here, will there be peace in the Middle East? Never. When he comes back here, perfect peace in the Middle East, and the Jews will have everything that has been promised to them. The next gift, custodianship of the Mosaic Law. The Jewish race was given 490 years to evangelize the world. 483 of those years have been completed. They were to spread the good news about the coming Messiah. What they did is what all human beings do. They distorted it into, if you're Jewish, you're saved, and if you're not, you aren't. And that was not the message, not the message at all. But they were given a chance to pass along the principles that would exist in a free nation. And that's exactly what the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law are. They are the principles that exist in any nation that is free. That is not a spiritual code. The Ten Commandments is not a spiritual code, and as a matter of fact, you can't do it if it was. Next, the temple service. This form of worship was simply a reminder of God's special covenant with Israel and the Jewish race, and it was much like the Lord's Supper celebration, a reminder of what the Lord did for all of his creatures at the cross, reminder by way of ritual. And the Jewish holidays are coming up right now, and they are celebrating these rituals even today. Next, the promises. So the Jewish race got a series of promises. These promises concerned salvation, and they were to Israel only. Thousands of promises on how they would be delivered over and over and over again to salvation. And now that the cross has happened, no promises are needed. Salvation now is a fact, whereas in the past, salvation was to be future. The rituals of the Jewish race pointed ahead to the cross. But now the cross has happened, and their salvation is a guaranteed event. The Lord taught the Jewish race in a series of rituals, typically celebrated on holidays, that there would be a lamb without spot or blemish who would take away the sins of the world. That lamb, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth, remained sinless for 33 years, and then went to the cross to die so that we wouldn't have to. And he did, of course, extend that salvation offer not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. The next gift that was given to the Jewish race is the fathers. Here's what it says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord says to Moses, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt.'" And we know what happened after he said that. What happened after he said that is the Jews were led out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. They were saved. The salvation message was the Red Sea parting so that they could get across. And then the 40 years walking across the desert with the cloud by day and the fire at night, which is symbolic of our life before we go to heaven, and then Israel, the promised land, which is symbolic of heaven. And we know the end of that story. And from Israel comes a long line of great men: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Judah, Moses, Samuel, David, and Solomon, just to name a few. The Lord Jesus Christ's gift to the human race is the Messiah. The Messiah. John chapter 1 verse 14 says this, the Word, ho logos in Greek, God the Son, a reference to the Lord, and the Lord became flesh, Jesus Christ, and tabernacled among us. What does that mean, tabernacled? He lived among us, and we beheld his glory. We saw him face to face. And all of the apostles, the requirement to be an apostle was that you had to have seen the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We beheld his glory, glory as of the uniquely born one from God the Father, full of grace and full of truth. There is no greater gift that God can give us other than the gift of himself. And that's what he did. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because he was tempted in every single way that we're tempted, yet without sin. So let's take a quick music break, and then we'll find out exactly what that means, that the Messiah gave himself as a gift to us. The music break song, Glorious Day, Living He Loved Me by Casting Crowns.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, glory revealed, living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, one day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glory. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree. Took the nails for me, 'cause living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, one day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious. Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified.
Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's best gifts to the Jewish race was himself. Welcome back. Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5 say this, my kinsmen, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the Mosaic law, and the temple service, and the promises, my kinsmen who are of the lineage of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and my kinsmen from whose lineage comes the Christ, the one who became flesh and tabernacled among us, the Messiah, the one who is sovereign over all, the God, deity, the blessed one who is forever. Amen. Now you might be asking yourself what all this look at what the Jews did means to you. Well, aren't we the same? What are all the gifts that God has given us that we simply overlook? This week, I got an indication that I want a piece of business that's very important to me for next year. And I wasn't excited at all. And so I was really curious why I didn't feel a lot of excitement about it. And I think there were two reasons. One reason I didn't feel a lot of excitement about it is because I didn't do anything to deserve it. It just sort of fell into my lap. But the other thing was that I expected it. And I think when you have faith in the Lord, you expect good things to happen to you. Because he always comes through. And so he gives us these gifts. I mean, when you wake up in the morning and you hear that sound, that's breathing. Do you consider that a gift? Because God could turn off your light like that. That's a gift. And in the midst of all of our problems, which are first world problems, I mean, we have water. We're buying water in bottles. We don't have any hunger issues. Do you realize the gift of living in a country like this? Because there are people who don't live in a country like this and who get up every day and they're scared because they might get eaten by an animal. And we don't have those issues. So there's the connection that the Jewish race was given all these wonderful gifts. And they were given all these wonderful promises, and they turned their back on them. And the same thing is true for us. We're given all these wonderful gifts, and we're given all these wonderful promises. And does it register that these are for you personally, that the Lord Jesus Christ has you personally in his mind right this minute, will always have you in his mind personally and by name, and always has? Does that register? All right, so the gift we're talking about, the final gift, is the gift called the Messiah, the one who was coming. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 say this, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, by calling an apostle, set apart for the dissemination of the gospel of God the Father, Romans 1, 2, which gospel the Father promised beforehand through his Old Testament prophets in the Holy Scriptures. There are no surprises in God's program. He promises something and then he delivers it and he makes it crystal clear. Romans chapter 1 verse 3, the gospel concerning his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We call him Lord because he is 100% God. We call him Jesus Christ because he is 100% man. He is the uniquely born person of the universe. 100% God, 100% man, and one person forever. The gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of Mary, a descendant of David, and born according to the flesh. He came to the earth and tabernacled among us. Romans 1:4, this Lord Jesus Christ, who was declared the Son of God with power, divine omnipotence, by means of the resurrection from the dead, the only one to date who has been resurrected from the dead, as proof of his deity, according to the power of God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness who resurrected from him from the dead, this Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he is the Messiah. He is the one who came, as promised, to take away the sins of the world. God the Father sent deity in human form to the Jewish race. He sacrificed his son, the Lord, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, the perfect fulfillment of the Mosaic Law, the only one who has ever perfectly fulfilled the Mosaic Law. Because here's the truth. If you want to have righteousness on your own, if you want to be self-righteous, if you want to get to heaven because of something that you do, you have to fulfill the Mosaic Law perfectly. Raise your hand if you have fulfilled the Mosaic Law perfectly. Thank you. Nobody raised a hand because you haven't done it. Not only have you not done it, you can't do it. And so isn't it good, though, that you don't have to? Because the Lord Jesus Christ did it for you and then passed along as an adopted son the benefit, one of the many benefits of being adopted. He was the fulfillment of every Old Testament promise concerning what would be seen that would help the Jewish race recognize their Messiah. And isn't it funny how something can be right in front of our faces and we miss it? There can be people in our lives that love us dearly and we miss it. Why? Because we're looking someplace else. Well, the Lord was here and the Jewish race missed it, most of them. Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 16 and 17 say this: assuredly, the Lord does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham, the Jewish race. Hebrews 2:17, therefore, the Christ, the Messiah, had to be made like his brethren to leave heaven and take on human form in all things like us, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God the Father, to make a propitiation for the sins of the people. What is that big word, propitiation? Propitiation. 5-syllable word, big word. What does it mean? It means that God the Father recognizes only one perfectly satisfactory payment for sins. God the Father recognizes only one perfectly satisfactory payment for sins. And who is that? It's the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made in his blood on the cross. Yet there are people in churches all over the world today who are convinced that they can do penance, they can do some prayer, they can do some act to clear themselves of sin. They cannot. That is a lie. And so, isn't it good, though, that they don't have to do it because the Lord did it for them? And one of the most visible signs of the Lord's messiahship was his genealogy that was delineated in Matthew chapter 1, and I think for about the first 13 verses or so. But here's verse 1. It says, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, I had the Bible on my to-do list, on my goals list for years. And people always told me, Rory, don't read the Old Testament. That doesn't apply to the church age believers. Just start with the New Testament. So I said, okay, well, that's good. That knocks out about 27 books. That's a pretty good deal. So let's open that up to Matthew, because that's the first book. And it said, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah was the father. All right, that's enough of that. It was like, why didn't I start with John? See, because I'm Mr. Sequence. You know, you're not allowed to go out of sequence. John is the fourth book. You can't go out of sequence. But that first 14 verses just bored me to tears. I was not going to read it. Well, I was ignorant. I didn't know what that meant. What it was telling me is this is the proof that Jesus is the Christ. Because in the Old Testament, that book you didn't read, the promise said that this is exactly what you would see. He would come through this line. And when by the time you get down to about the 13th verse and it mentions Mary, oh yeah, I know her. She's the lady in the little, you know, manger scene. I know her. But I didn't get that far. And so for years, that was the start and stop of me wanting to read the Bible. But all that was being communicated there, if you just review that chapter on your own and you get through the first 13 verses, it was simply the path of the children of the promise, the Jewish people, from Abraham all the way up to Mary and her virgin birth, 14 generations, five women, five, the number of grace. Mary was the fifth woman mentioned in that passage. And she was the woman of grace. And what was she called by the angel? What was the salutation that the angel made to her? Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Right? She is the fifth. She is from the line of David. What an amazing honor that the one who became flesh and tabernacled among us was an Israelite. A tremendous gift to Israel. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Let me tell you the part of that verse that you'll miss. You'll look at all the names that are attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and you'll miss this. The government will rest on his shoulders. See, we're all worried about who's going to win the election. Is it going to be Hillary? Is it going to be Donald Trump? You know it's going to be Hillary. That was set up 15 years ago. You know it's going to be Hillary. You don't think so? You got any money? Do you have any cash? Because I'll bet you on that. It was set up a long time ago. But we're going to have to go through 8 years of that. Oh, my God. All right. End of sermon. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because Jesus Christ controls history. The government of this world will rest on his shoulders. So we are safe. Now, who is this Messiah, the Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 27 says it, for God the Father has put all things in subjection under the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. He sits right now today at the right hand of God the Father waiting for that moment when everything will be put under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that God the Father has accepted who put all things in subjection to the Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ. See, today, if you say to somebody, do you believe in God? Most people would shake their head yes, unless you're over in China. If you say, do you believe in Jesus Christ? A lot of people would shake their head and say, yeah, I kind of do. But if you ask, do you think Jesus Christ is God? That's where you separate the men from the boys. Girls from the women. Because that is the rub. Is Jesus Christ God? Is he the Messiah? Is he who he said he is in John 14:6? I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one gets to the Father but through believing in me. Is he that person that he said he is? I think so. Yes, I think so. And one day, everyone will think so. In fact, everyone will know so. Now, what do we know about this Messiah? John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 say this: In the beginning was the Word, that is the Lord, and the Word was with God the Father, and the Word was God the Son. Now, if you look in Bibles of different religions, they will distort that verse. They will change that verse because this makes it clear that the Lord is God, that he is deity. And you will see some versions of the Bible say he was like a God. In the beginning was the Word, the Lord, and the Word was with God the Father, and the Word was like a God, because they don't believe that God the Son has the exact same essence as God the Father, has the exact same essence as God the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that. And so it's your choice. What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is deity or not? John chapter 1, verse 2, the Word was in the beginning, not a beginning, with God the Father. Why beginning, not a beginning? Because God has always existed, and there never was a time when he didn't exist. So the Word, the Lord, was in the beginning, not a beginning, with God the Father. John 1, 3, all things came into being through the Word, the Lord, and apart from the Lord, nothing came into being that has come into being. And what does that mean? It means the Lord is deity. It means Jesus Christ is his humanity. It means that he has always existed. He is the great I am. That's what he said about himself. There never has been a time he didn't exist. And that is something that I have a difficult time getting across to my Jewish friends. They believe that Jesus existed for 33 years on the earth, and now he's dead. And Christians do not believe that. We believe that he's always existed, that he always will exist, and that he is alive. I know that my Savior lives, and that in the end he will place his feet on the earth. He will reign on the earth. He is the Creator. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 say this: For by the Lord Jesus Christ all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, both visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So now, on November 3rd, or when is the election? I don't know when it is. It's the 8th? Okay, so on November 9th, when the new president is installed, or the new president is, we're aware who it is. The installation, I think, happens in January. So on that day, you should go right to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 4, and read what it has to say. And what it'll have to say is no one is ever placed in a government position without God's permission. That's what it'll say. You know why that is? Because he holds all things together by the word of his power. And so we don't have anything to worry about, because he's the one who makes sure that we're cared for, not those guys. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign God of the universe. There is no one like him. And he thought so much of the Jewish race that he became one of them. And there is no greater way to prove your love for someone than to give yourself totally to that person. That's what he did. He did it for them. He does it for us. And there never will be a time when he isn't doing it for absolutely everyone, even those who hate him and those who reject him. Well, the closing moments of our lesson today, this first lesson, is dedicated to anyone who does not have a relationship with the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an opportunity to make the most important decision of your life. Acts 16:31. The jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." Romans 10:10, "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of, but instead he is patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any of them to perish in the lake of fire, but for all of them to come to a repentance, which is a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, he is our hope. The closing song today, "There's Just One Hope."
Confusing, there's chaos everywhere, full of deception, darkness and great despair. You can be freed from its power, there's no doubt. God's word reveals the one and only way out. There's just one hope, there's just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven, one hope. There's just one faith, one so great salvation, the Father's way to get to heaven is Jesus, through God the Son, Jesus. Christ paid for all sins with his death on the cross, was resurrected, so no one need be lost. His work is finished, there's nothing you need to except believing in what he's done for you. There's just one hope, there's just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven, one hope. There's just one faith, one so great salvation, the Father's way to get to heaven is Jesus, through God the Son, Jesus. He is the way. Jesus Christ. He's the only hope, the only way to heaven.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for your gifts. And we know that a lot of the times we just squander your gifts. But we ask you to be patient with us and to continue leading us through God the Holy Spirit so that we can learn the lesson that you want to teach us in this life, which is total trust and total obedience to you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.